This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. For more than a decade, Mike Daisy has been performing monologues and one-man shows around the world. The topics, always varied, draw from his observations on current events and things going on in his daily life. His latest project is The Story of the Gun and focuses on America's relationship with guns. The world premiere of the show was last night at Playmakers Repertory Company in Chapel Hill. The show is at Playmakers through Sunday. Mike Daisy joins me now. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How was the premiere last night, the first time you'd ever done this? And without a script, really. I mean, you were really playing off the audience.
Yeah, I perform extemporaneously. I'm a storyteller. And so as a consequence, there's never a script. And it went really well.
Why guns? What drew you to this subject?
Oh, I think that the story of guns is actually really central to the heart of the American story. I think that we're defined in many ways by our relationship with guns, by our unwillingness to really confront the heart of that relationship, by our incredibly charged and ambivalent feelings about dealing with guns, and our inability to have like a public discourse about guns that is substantive. In other words, we don't want to talk about guns ever, and then when we're forced to, we have to, and then we stop talking about it as soon as we can. And so we feel like we talk about it all the time, but we don't say anything.
What is your own personal relationship with guns? Have you ever owned one or used one?
I grew up in far northern Maine, so I grew up around guns as an everyday part of life. Like something that happened when I was a kid that I didn't realize till later is not normal and probably isn't happening today, is that because in the fall, kids would go hunting in the mornings before school. There are very strict rules at school that if someone went hunting before school, they had to leave their rifle in their locker through the school day, and you were not allowed to show your rifle to anyone during passing period. You had to leave your rifle in your locker. So guns are very integrated into everything.
You live in New York City.
Yes, I do.
Now. So do you have any relationship in your adult life in terms of that, or are those memories from when you were a child?
I mean, I have a relationship with guns today because I live in America. I mean, in America, there are 340 million guns and about 330 million people. So there is more than enough guns for every American, man, woman, or child to have their own gun. In case we want to organize those militias that the Second Amendment was about, we all have guns if we need them. So I think everyone in America has a relationship with guns in that sense, in the context of there being such a tremendous number of them that and such a potently charged political force that you really can't help but like have a relationship with. Like even the act of deciding you're not going to have a gun is actually a decision that sits on that spectrum.
Over the years, you've performed monologues about so many different and shows about so many different topics, the Cold War, history of New York City transit system. What draws you to this form? The form of the monologue, the form of going into a performance without having a script that you know you're going to read and really just allowing the scene and the place and the setting to draw on what you're going to say.
Well, it's the desire to create a piece of theater that lives in the moment that it's spoken. I mean, in the same way that we didn't rehearse this conversation that we're having, we're actually having it the same way that the monologues are created extemporaneously. So though they have a great deal of thought and detail, and they're worked on a great deal to create certain themes and motifs, the actual execution of each and every night is unique unto itself. And in that sense, it's a lot like jazz. For me, doing scripted theater would be a lot like working from a script. So would be a lot like reading. So since I prefer to read in private, I would rather actually be speaking to people and in public. And so that's sort of the genesis, the heart of it is actually the same thing that makes people want to tell stories everywhere.
Is there a way that you, I don't know if you can do this yet or if you even know, but you performed last night with an audience here of North Carolina residents. Are you thinking now, I'm going to go on stage tonight, what happened last night, how it will impact the way that the show will change tonight? Was there anything that you saw last night or the way the audience reacted which might make you talk about something else?
Oh, yeah, everything. I mean, as I perform, I'm in my head editing for the following night. Like, as it goes, I'm making notes to myself about what is working, what is not working, what is working for me, where the show needs to be more uncomfortable, where the show needs to interrogate people more closely. And then I work with my collaborating partner, G. Michelle Gregory, who's my director, very closely. And then we talked late in the night last night. And tonight I'll perform again. And when I perform this time, it will be quite changed from yesterday's, and that will continue to iterate throughout all these performances.
So people might not have seen your show before or you perform before, but they may have heard your name before. Certainly a public radio audience. And that's because in 2012, there was some controversy around a piece of yours that was excerpted for This American Life. What resulted was the most downloaded episode ever of that show. And it focused on the Apple factory in China. What came of that was This American Life, Ira Glass, saying that parts of that had been fabricated. They were misled on some of those facts, which they believed to be true. How has that experience changed your work?
It's affected every part of my life. It was huge. It was a huge experience to go through.
Has it made you more wary of the way that you will construct a monologue? Because you don't want to go through something like that again? And is it in some way inhibited the way that you can perform?
It's made me more wary of journalists.
Fair enough. In this story of the gun show, is the material fact or fiction?
Well, all the things that are talked about that are about the history of guns and where guns come from are researched and are, you know, everyone does their best job to be factual. As for the stories, all stories are fiction. As everyone who tells stories in any context knows, that by the time you're done editing and shaping and forming, narrative authority ultimately lies in the person telling the story.
Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Absolutely.
You can see Mike Daisy perform The Story of the Gun tonight and through Sunday at Playmakers Repertory Company. Full disclosure, Playmakers is an underwriter of WUNC. This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge.